I want wonder. I want mystery and awe. These are the things that I have come to associate with Christmas, a time to wonder at God among us and the mystery of a God who would choose to become a baby. Christmas is supposed to be a time when anything is possible and when people tell the truth, when love is visible for the world to see instead of hidden among the hurt, injustice, grief, and death, usually so noticeable to us. I want wonder, mystery, and awe, and over the past several weeks, they have mostly proven elusive to me. In between short moments when the beauty of Advent and Christmas have been apparent, all that I have felt is hollow and frazzled, rushed by constantly being busy, always having something to do. I tried to counter my frenetic schedule with Christmas music in the car, office, and home, blaring as I drove to a meeting, worked on seemingly endless supplies of bulletins and sermons, and tended to nonstop household chores. But that just didn't seem to do the trick. I put up my tree at home shortly after Thanksgiving, hoping that the glow of the twinkling lights would stop time for just a little bit. And when that didn't work, I decorated the tree, hoping that the ornaments would help me realize that it is a symbol of what is to come. I read and reread the familiar Advent texts and then the Christmas ones too, in hopes that something would make it feel a little more like the Christmas that I remember. But none of it worked. Time barreled on, and the stress of the holidays kept coming. And in the midst of it all, occasional tears would leak out, eventually reminding me that grief and sadness always accompany this time. Instead of reveling in wonder and awe and mystery, I have been steeped in tension, anxiety, and chaos, even up through tonight, into this service, into this time when we intentionally stop for a moment to encounter God, between furiously wrapping presents and waiting for Santa, and then making sure that the food is ready for the meal tomorrow. If there were ever a place where wonder, mystery, and awe should be, it should be here, among us now. I have come here tonight to be with you in hopes that this will be a time to take comfort in a familiar story, one that I, and I'm sure all of you, hold dear. I've come here tonight, as perhaps some of you have too, to soften the world just a little bit, so it doesn't seem so harsh or crazy. It may be that we want to gaze on a cute newborn baby because for even just a moment, that makes everything seem so much better. We want to forget all of our problems and the chaos that we manage on a daily basis, wanting to escape from the endless news cycle and the thought that for some of us, our lives hang in the balance between our legislators on the Hill and the president in the White House. Hoping that tonight is a break from all of that, a welcome respite from the disorder, the busyness, and the work to manage it all. But as much as that is what I want, what perhaps all of us want, it's not the story that Luke portrays for us tonight, which seems odd given the way that the story starts, with complete order. The narrative begins with the officials of the Roman Empire calling for a census. It was a system that had been perfected, that had perfected the ordering of the entire empire, counting and recounting people so that they could tax them in the most efficient way possible. It was not a disorganized effort. In fact, it was quite the opposite. And it's because of this ordering that Mary and Joseph wind up in Bethlehem, which is where the story shifts. If this were only a story about ordering chaos, about making sure that our lives were well regulated, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem. It isn't the center of the empire, nor is it a major metropolitan area or a stop along a trade route. It's a small town far away from the center of power. And yet it is the place in which God chooses to enter the story, choosing a teenage girl and her fiancé, who are far from home, to be the principal players in bringing about the Savior of the world. Jesus' very birth appears to be an indictment against the order that we crave, against our desire for familiarity, safety, and security. Instead of an immaculate birthing room, Jesus is born in the worst Airbnb imaginable. A nasty, smelly stall because there simply wasn't room anywhere else. Or because the scandalous news of the hometown boy's fiance getting pregnant by somebody else while she claimed to still be a virgin didn't get them any invites from family. Instead of a crib or a bed, Jesus is laid in a feeding trough, a manger, while his parents tried to wrap their heads around having to care for this new creation. Instead of being born to the most powerful, wealthy folks on earth, those who would broadcast his birth with expensive birth announcements sent out to all their friends, Jesus is born to a young, poor couple. And it's the angels who first announce his birth, not to anyone with status, but to shepherds who spent their days hanging out with sheep. Instead of everybody seeing Jesus that first Christmas, very few even knew that he was there. This is the Christmas story, that God chooses to be born into the fringes and the chaos, that God chooses to become vulnerable. There are no twinkling lights or perfectly wrapped gifts that first Christmas. There was no family coming to town to help with the new baby, no Instagram-worthy accommodations. The first Christmas was stripped of all the comforts and familiarity of home. Yet the Christ child transformed a stinky stall into a home fit for a king, and strangers into family. That ordinary night became an extraordinary invitation to see the world full of promise and hope instead of only pain and suffering. To see that God would enter into the ordinariness of our lives when we least expect, and be present with those most in need. Christmas isn't about familiarity or taking a break from the demands of the world, but discovering that we have a God who wishes to meet those demands head on with us. A God who is irrevocably for us, even to the point of being born into a life that begins in pain and blood and ends much the same way. Christmas is about seeing that God comes even when there isn't room, that God comes in the midst of the chaos, the pain, and the injustice, not when things are perfect and ready. Instead, God comes in the midst of the busyness, the tension, and the anxiety that we hold. God comes irrevocably for the world. For the shepherds, for Mary, for Joseph, for the lonely, the lost, and the forsaken, for those who grieve as much as those who are joyful, for me and for you. Tonight and every night, God comes for us, for all the ups and the downs of life. God comes, love comes. Then and now, regardless of our readiness, God is here, love is here. Merry Christmas.